Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Okay, this morning we are going to do something we have never done here before. One thing about this church, things keep changing a little. Now, you may not like all of our ideas, you may love them, but anyway, we have a little variety. Today, Mike has been speaking on God's will for weeks, and we are going to sit up here. And while I'm talking, Mike and Alan, would you come and set up the stools and things? You're going to be allowed to ask questions about things you've come to mind from Mike speaking about God's will. What is God? How do we know God's? Anyway, we do have several questions that have been turned in that we'll get to at some point. But we will let you ask questions, and we will try to answer, and we are answering on the fly. So if we say something wrong, you are more than welcome to come up to us afterwards and say, you said this, are you sure you meant that? Whoops, no, I didn't mean it that. Anyway, please understand that, and we will just do our best. We are not perfect, not all-knowing, and maybe you have some inputs and some insights into things, too. While they're still working on that, I did forget to announce that next week we have the special mission speaker, and we also have a table fellowship, and there's sign-up out there for food for the table fellowship. And so we ask that you sign up for those things. And we got white and blue and orange for them guys back there in the sound booth. They might be scurrying with this. Did we select a runner? Oh, Sean? What? Oh, Megan. We did have a runner. Okay, what questions might you have on how do you know God's will or what God's will is, and we'll try to answer them. And I'm hoping that us three up here can relax ourselves and dialogue. We have good dialogue, but man, with all you guys are in front of us, we might not talk quite so well. But and so we hope it's just a good time of you learning, us learning, and we have some good questions. Is there anything you guys want to say before we start?
I would just say that, you know, as we go through and talking about some of these questions and things, like Jeff said, if we say something that's not necessarily correct, I do want to challenge you to say something about that in front of all, because I think it's good for that. It's healthy for the body. For us to learn and to grow together. So if we're missing something here, feel free to say, what about this scripture? I think that would be very good. Why don't we pray? I think that would be good. Ask for wisdom in all this as well. Lord, thank you so much for time together. Thank you for the church body. And Lord, as we as a body of believers just meeting here together, help us as we talk about your word, talk about what your word teaches, and help all of us to grow and to mature into Christ's likeness. Thank you that we have the opportunity to discuss things, and I pray that you give us wisdom. Pray for those that may have some questions, maybe they're a little nervous or things like that. Lord, I pray that you give them boldness to ask the question. And just help us enjoy our time together. And you're so good and gracious to us. And it's in the name of Jesus we do pray all these things. Amen. All right. So who's running the mic for us?
Megan.
Megan is. Okay. So if you have a question about anything that we've covered past, I believe, 13 weeks on God's will, there was a few things specifically that God tells us what his will is. And then we talked about determining God's will. We'd like to answer those. Again, we did have some that submitted, but we're going to kind of go ahead and open it up to anybody that may have one currently right now. Yep, Terry right back.
Okay, back to Terry. And get your hands up quick, because we did talk about we're going to limit the time this morning. So if you're real talkative, we'll have to cut you off. So get in there first.
Mm-hmm. Assures us that we're either doing God's will or not.
Okay, so the question is, if you didn't hear it, and Mike's typing it so we can stay on track, is it okay to put out a fleece? I think that's... I'll start with this. There have been times when I go to buy a used car and I only have X amount of money in my pocket, and it will be, if he doesn't come down to this price, I won't buy it. And that's kind of a fleece. And you pray about it, say, you know, this. So I would say yes, but I don't know if it's absolute foolproof. But what have you guys ever done a fleece, or, and what do you think about them?
I'll finish last. We'll let the older guys go first.
Ooh.
Thanks, Mike. Giving me the hard question. No. I think there is sometimes times when you just don't know what decision to make. And I think, you know, I think it's okay to do a fleece. Gideon did that. And you know, even you know that I think there's opportunity for that. However, your decision has to be in God's will on all other aspects. You know, well, that aspect, but you know, what is God's will? It's got to be definitely not sin, you know, and definitely a wise choice. You have options to consult with other believers, other wise people as well. So I'm not going to say that a fleece is something you shouldn't do, but I think it's something that you use very sparingly after, and make sure that you use the other options and ways that God has provided to determine His will.
Yeah, there's been a few times in my life where you have two decisions, and both of them are very good decisions. And you're kind of evaluating which one. And I think that in those types of situations, yes, you know, maybe you could even put time limits on something. You could say, you know, if this is not done by such and such time, then I'll know that that's not what I'm supposed to do. So I think a fleece is fine. I don't necessarily think it's not like you're not trusting God. Now, even with Gideon, we do see that he did do the fleece, God answered it, but then he's like, okay, God, I really, really want to be sure here. I think we just have to trust God, knowing that God is going to lead us if we are following His word, if we're being obedient to the biblical principles of what is laid out there, and trust God, make the decision, and I think God will lead in all those. So I have no problem with having a fleece. I think that's fine, but it's not always something that's always needed in that.
So you had talked a little bit about, you know, like that we can change a job or change everything except for our wives, you know, and that we can ask God's will, and if there's something better, we can go for it, or if there's a change or something like that. So my question is, how do you know the difference between God wanting you to be in a struggle, God wanting you to go through discipline, because it says that He disciplines those He loves, and God wanting you to change the situation?
Good question. If somebody has the perfect answer, raise your hand.
Make sure I got the question correct there, David. So how do you know the difference between being in a struggle, discipline, or what was the other thing?
or to move on to,
or being a place where you can seek God's will and change the situation. So it's like accept the situation, change the situation, or the situation is there because it's God's discipline on you.
Okay.
And therefore, if it's God's discipline, that's the place for you, even though it's, yeah.
So thinking about some of these things, when you look at Scripture, you do see people going through certain difficulties and hardships, and all of those things were God's will, okay? Just for an example, give you out of Acts, let me see here, Acts chapter, I think it's 27. Yeah, Acts chapter 27, when Paul is going towards Rome, they get on the ship. That was God's will, right? But you see some certain things that take place going to Rome while they're on that ship. For example, in verse number 4, it says that the winds were against us. Now, some people would look at something and say, well, if this is God's will, I'm never going to have any struggles. Everything's just going to fall in line, right? But Paul clearly says here, he says the winds were against us. In verse 7, he says that we arrived with difficulty, but yet this was still God's will. In verse 8, he says that we are coasting along it with difficulty. In verse 9, the voyage was now dangerous. This is still God's will. It's dangerous, right? In verse 10, it says, Paul said, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives. But then later on, he realizes, hey, no one's going to die. We're all going to be good. Verse 14, he says that a tempestuous wind called the Northeasterner struck down from the land. They were driven along, managed with difficulty. That's verse 16. Verse 20, neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. Is that not the thing that we sometimes like to say is, boy, I really want the sun shining, the birds chirping, and here's Paul saying the sun nor the stars. It was very gloomy. It looked bleak. And so sometimes God's will looks very bleak, and sometimes it can be dangerous. Sometimes it comes with injury, as even what Paul says here, right? But we have to understand, yes, God is working through all of these things. I even think back with back in Genesis with Joseph, when Joseph was going through all that he went through while he's in prison, taken in as a young man, 17 years old, now in his 40s, when he finally gets reunited with his dad, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." There was a lot of difficulty and hardship. So to the question, how do you know the difference between being in a struggle, discipline, or to move on and change the situation? I think it's the fact of, again, just looking at those biblical principles and saying, okay, am I in sin? Right? If I'm in sin, there's definite discipline there, God, and God's going to bring that discipline in my life to correct me, and that's all part of his will. But also I would say if there's struggle, don't dismiss being in a struggle as not being God's will. Sometimes some of the most difficult things that we go through in life, I mean, think about for those of you in here that have children, is it a struggle to raise your children? Yeah. But it's also God's will, right, for us to raise our children, and there's a struggle that comes along with that. Now, as far as with changing the situation, I think we talked about with the job situation. Paul said to some believers that were slaves, he said, look, if you have the opportunity to gain your freedom, do it. And if it's there to make those changes, yes. But I would say through much prayer, through seeking God, asking those tough questions, making sure you're in his word, that's what's important, to try to determine where you're at. I don't know if you guys have some things to add.
I would just, I guess my, and again, I'm not the best at answering, but the difficulty is not a direction to go either way. it's a direction. Ask God, what is your will in this? And I don't believe, like if you're thinking of work, if you're in a work situation that's really tough all the time, I don't think that's necessarily, it might be where God wants us, but anyway, I guess I would say that's a piece of the puzzle, and you pray and ask God for direction or a fleece or, you know, touch me in my heart with where I'm going, what I should do, give me counselor. You know, you go through all the same steps, even if you're at a wonderful place. Maybe you should go through them same steps and say, does God have something else for me? But often, it's the difficulties that prod us to seek God about what do you want.
I guess I have to talk.
You don't have to.
I like what Mike said about, you know, if there's an opportunity to change the situation, if take it or at least work through that, seek God's will in that. But I do want to remind everyone that, you know, God does put these things in our way to, because maybe we do need discipline. And I look at discipline as in two different ways. First of all, I did something bad, I need disciplined, or I did something wrong, or I have to be disciplined to grow. And I don't remember, do you remember boot camp or basic training? You know, those guys beat you up for a while, and, you know, eventually, you know, you come out of that a different person. I know God has put struggles into my life, and that is just an opportunity God uses to help me grow, to be more like Him, to put my focus on Him more, and to think about what I am doing with my life. So.
Next question. We'll try to keep our answers short, too, so we get to get a lot of questions. Where's
Megan?
Where is Megan? Yeah, hi, Megan.
I don't remember the specific date, but I know that you talk a lot about sin. And my question is, God calls us to holiness, and yet He allows us to struggle with sin even after we've loved Him. And John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So how are you supposed to live within those two realms and then also live righteously and grow righteously? Because it almost seems in my head that they don't live together very well in your brain.
Yeah. We are asked to be perfect, and we're not. Is that kind of the summary? You got the question. Anyway, this is one thing I try to tell people, and I think of myself. We are called to be saints, holy, and we can be at any moment in time. If we've asked God to forgive us, you are a saint and you're holy. Now, we will fall again, in some point, and then we've sinned. We've let God down, but we come back to that. Forgive me, Lord, and we're back to saint and holy. That's how I handle that, is that, no, I'm not going to be there forever, every moment, but I can be there at any moment through Jesus. The stuff we sang about today, you know, His grace, forgiveness, and the only reason I can stand in front of Him is His, all of that stuff comes into play. So that's a quick answer. Hopefully that. Any of you guys?
Romans chapter 6 is a great passage of scripture that helps us understand this struggle of sin, and also that, you know, we are also now supposed to live a righteous life. And if I could sum it up with one word, Paul uses this word. He says slave. Either you're going to be a slave of sin, or you're going to be a slave of righteousness. Now, in that, if you're a slave of sin, there is a struggle, right? The decisions that we make, it brings hardship, difficulty, all of that. But also to know that when we choose to be a slave of righteousness, it also is going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard because you're going to have to say no. You're going to have to bring discipline in your own life is what, like Jesus said, right? Taking up your cross, following me. So either way, it's a hardship, and I would encourage you to read through Romans chapter 6, because he says this idea that when we came to faith in Christ, we were baptized into his body. We were baptized into his death. And just as Christ has died for our sin, we too need to recognize that we are dead to sin. I've said this many times, that just because sin calls you on the phone, you don't have to pick up and answer it.
Right? That's one labeled potential spam. Right?
You can ignore that call because you have been set free from sin. But now he calls us to live differently, live a resurrected life, just as you've been resurrected into new life in Jesus. And so, yes, God calls us to holiness, and he does allow that struggle in sin, primarily because that struggle brings us into maturity in our faith. Because without the struggle, I mean, how are we going to grow, right, in our Christian walk, in our Christian faith? How are we going to learn how to say no to sin and say no to ungodliness and say no to the temptations and things like that? So that struggle has to be there, and it's good for us to go through that because it makes us more and more like Jesus in that.
I'm just going to follow on a little bit with this last little bit that he said, you know, you going back to your children, because I think God has created the family as kind of a image of our relationship with him. When you have children, when they're a baby, do you just let them, you know, keep, you know, you help them up and you'll walk around holding their hand when they're one, two, you know, holding their hand so they can walk, three, four. You know, if you don't let go of their hands, they'll never actually learn how to walk on their own. Or, you know, you tell your children to clean up the room. You expect them to clean it up. You shouldn't be in there cleaning their room up all the time. And I think it's the same way. Is, you know, we have the, God is creating us or making us holy, he's sanctifying us through the process of learning these things and growing. So.
Should we get to our pre-questions?
Yeah, we did have
far
a couple
time?
Of...
Yeah, time's flying fast here.
Let me pull up. So did have a couple questions that were submitted. First of all, is it God's will to constantly struggle, like with a job or substance-addicted spouse or rebellious child? So I'm going to type this up here, and you guys can.
You want to start, Alan?
Okay. Well, I think we've touched on this a lot already, but I think, again, this is an opportunity that God can work in our lives when a child is not following God, or a spouse is not responding in a godly manner or whatever. It gives us an opportunity to learn to find peace and joy in this struggle. Jesus struggled a lot, even with his family. I know I remember preaching a sermon and talking about his family that just didn't get it. And he, you know, that was a struggle that he had. So, you know, it's not uncommon. It's something, but that's something that God puts in our life to help us grow.
And I think a part of that is it says struggle with a job or substance addiction of a spouse or rebellious child. We can never control other people. I guess I'm speaking in an adult level. Children and raising them we'll talk about in a different... But what the question would be, if you're struggling, what can you control? What can you go to God and say, what should I... If it's a job, you know, should I change? But if it's this person is staying on drugs and I wish they wouldn't, you can't change the person. You could pray for them. You can talk to them. You can do everything else you can. So distinguish, I'm thinking in this question, distinguish between those things that are your responsibility, your control, and it's someone else's. And that would make a difference on how you handle it. Those things are a struggle when our children aren't living right and our friends aren't living right and things, but we also can't control them.
Philippians chapter 4 gives us a good reminder about things that might be out of our control. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, sometimes we like to use that verse in the fact of saying like, oh, yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so I'm going to get an A on my history test. That's not what it's talking about. He's talking about the fact of being content. So Paul, if you read the context of that in Philippians 4, it's the idea, Paul says, hey, I know how to go through struggle. I know how to go through hardships. I've learned to be in want. I've learned to have plenty. And he says, I've learned the secret in all of this. It's just to be content. And so even in the midst of the struggle, even though there's the dark clouds, there's the hardships, the difficulties, all that stuff, we can be content. We can choose to be content. We can choose joy. We can choose to live. We can choose to put one foot, you know, in front of the other every single day, but we have to choose that. We have to find our peace. We have to find our joy. We have to find our contentment, not in the situations, but in Jesus himself, because Jesus is all those things. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our contentment, and so we need to find peace in all of that. So even like what Jeff said, yeah, there are some things that you can control. You can't control, you know, your spouse if they're addicted. You can control how you respond to them. You can pray for them. Same with your child. Yes, you can discipline your child. You can tell them that they need to do certain things, but you can't make them behave. You can't sit there and tell them, you're going to do this, you know. Strong arm them in a way. I mean, yeah, they probably do it, but that's not necessarily going to change them in that way. So, yeah. Good question, though. I think it's really good. We have another one maybe out here. Like to ask? Yeah, Terry has another one. Okay.
Yeah, we talk about, say, family members or people close to us that have, say, an addiction, a substance addiction or some kind of addiction. How do you know when it's God's will to pull away or to somehow remove that? You know, like sometimes in a marriage, a spouse can be abusive or can how do you know when God wants you to pull away
from a relationship where the other person is
right
or negatively impacting you?
Yeah. To do something that. You know, something has to change. Something has to change, but what, you know, when do you know when to say remove that person or pull away?
We'll pass on that one. Oh, boy, that's a hard one. In a marriage, physical safety is one issue. You know, harm. If it's stressful, but, you know, you need to stay in that as much as you can. If it's not a marriage, maybe it's a friend or a relative. I guess what I would, and again, this is off the top of my head, I was thinking you need to be helping them. Sometimes they are so antagonistic against you that the best help is just back off. Don't mention the issue to them or just and wait for another opportunity in the future. Sometimes that is helping them the most. But again, that's God's guidance, God's help in knowing how to handle this bad relationship in general.
I would just say in any type of marriage type setting, if there is abuse, yes, you need to be safe in that.
Here, I've got a question for you. What about if the abuse is emotional, mental type of abuse?
I've heard that. I think that's one of those things you're going to have to kind of really weigh out and see if it's manageable in the fact that, yes, I can still work through this and try to help the individual or live with them. But I would say if there's, you know, substance abuse, especially if it's a husband or a wife or any type of thing, or even with a child, you need to be wise in how you handle the situation. For one, you don't need to enable them. I would say if it's a child that is living at home, let's just say they might even be over the age of 18, you know, you need to really kind of put it forward to them, say, you know, you can't do this. You can't live here. I'm not going to allow this. Same with, you know, husband as well, like, or a wife, you know, you need to kind of tell them this is important. You cannot do this. You cannot live this way. So when is it God's will to pull away? I would say that sometimes there is rugged love that you have towards individuals. And how that actually looks and plays out, I think it's by a case-by-case basis. But we can love people, because I always go back to the gospel and think about Jesus loved me, right? How horrible of a sinner and a wretch was I that Jesus still loves me. So if he loves me, and knowing, I mean, I am the worst sinner that I know of. So if Jesus can love me, I too can love others, and I can show that love towards them. But you cannot enable. I think that's what's so important. So how that looks case by case, it just determines on how much you are involved with that person's life in that way.
Yeah, I agree, I think it's very important that we don't enable our children to continue or have the ability to continue in that situation with our kind of support, so to speak. So one of the things, though, that in the whole process is that we need to make sure that when we have children or friends that are in situations like that and we do pull away from them, that they know that when they decide that they want to change, they are more than welcome to come back. That they have a loving home or a loving friend that will be there for them to support them.
Let's go on. I got one quick thing to say. Mike's outline is a good outline when you're looking for God's will, but it's not a Bible issue that's specifically laid out. It's something in your life, the job, the spouse, the place to live, all of that. When you're wondering, did I make the right or wrong decision, go back to the process, not the outcome. Did you go through the process? And maybe it didn't turn out well, maybe it did. The one illustration I want to leave to you, in college, a bunch of 20-year-old guys and girls, mostly single, out in the crowd, and the old man professor's up there talking to you, you know, da-da-da-da-da. He puts a question up. What area is most important for God's will? Who you marry? Where you live, what your occupation is, which one is most important? And you know, 20-year-olds, I don't know. Then the fourth one he puts up, buying a pair of shoes. And we all, buy a pair of shoes. His point was, it's buying the pair of shoes. It's learning to follow God's direction in a more daily way that makes it easier to know his direction in the big things. So that's just one thing to leave with you. Work at following God's will in the daily decisions or lesser decisions, and then the bigger decisions will just be an outcome of that. Anyway, I didn't have a place to put that in, so I did. Go ahead.
All right, one last question here. This person submitted a question here. Sometimes I hear people pray, if it is your will to heal, when praying for someone to be healed. What is the scriptural basis praying in this way? That's a fantastic question. They also provided several scriptures here about Jesus healing others and things like that. I have, in my life, I can know that I have prayed that as well. I've said, you know, if it be your will to do these types of things. So this person's asking, what is the scriptural basis praying in this way? One, I would say that, does God heal people? Yes, he does. Does God heal everyone here on this earth? No, not always. Okay? If a person, a believer, dies in Christ, yes, they are totally healed, right? I think of, like, Marilyn. I think of even Denise, right? Totally healed, right, in God's presence. They are healed. But sometimes God does not always heal on this earth, and we've seen that. Maybe some of you know individuals that were not necessarily healed on this earth. So why do we pray that? What's scriptural basis of praying that way? Well, I would have to begin with God's sovereignty, that God is in control over all. And because of this, God has a will of doing things his way, the way that he wants to do them. Now, do we know everything about God as far as it's concerned with what he's going to do always in this situation, in this situation, in this situation? We don't always know those things. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed to us, they belong to us and our children forever. So God has some secret things that he does keep to himself that he chooses not to reveal always. Now, when we pray and ask God to heal somebody, I think that, yes, we are praying in faith. And I think there's two schools of thoughts on this. I've seen one hand people say, well, if you're saying you're praying for him to heal, if it's your will, you're in fact almost like saying, like, you don't believe that God can heal. And so that's like doubting, and that's not really trusting in God. But I would say that I am trusting in God because I'm asking him to do it according to his will. Lord, I want you to heal this person according to your will. Now, if God chooses not to do that here physically on this earth, that's his decision. That's his choice. I do not get to dictate necessarily what God chooses to do or not to do. I think of the time when Jesus came down to go see Lazarus. Lazarus had died. They even told him, they said, Lazarus is ill. What did Jesus purposely do? He waited, right, for a few days. And he said that this illness was for what? For God's glory. Sometimes God allows illness for his glory. Sometimes God allows death for his glory. I even think of the time when Jesus went to the pool in John chapter 8. There were many impotent people lay there, but Jesus only went to one. There was a man there. How long was he laid there? 38 years. He was sick. Jesus went to that one. Do you want to be healed? Yes, Lord. Right? I've been laying here this whole time. So there's instances of this where, yes, Jesus does heal people. God does heal people. I do believe it is the Lord's will that he heals people. But how that actually plays out physically here, I don't know why God says yes to this one and heals them totally. And we give him praise for that. But then others, you know, they succumb to that illness and sometimes even die. It's all according to his will. And that those are hard, difficult things sometimes to see and watch.
Yeah, we have, I think, a little bit of disagreement. I would say it's God's will to heal you, to heal everybody. And God is sovereign. But I don't understand how God's sovereignty and this sinful world would work together, because not everybody that's a Christian is healed. And so, to me, it's a mystery to us on this earth how God can be sovereign and yet some of his children are not healed. If it's his will, they ought to be healed, right? But anyway, to me, it's one of those things we can't comprehend it. If I could comprehend everything about God and write a perfect theology then would he be God if I can understand him? So to me, this is one thing I can't understand. God is sovereign. He wants us to be healed, and he will heal everybody someday in heaven that chooses to follow him. But yes, it's his will for you to be healed, but he, like you said, he doesn't always heal everybody. And I don't have a nice, neat answer for that that we can all understand. That's my kind of take on it.
I was just going to say, I really liked what this person said in here, though, too. They said, wouldn't it be more accurate to pray in this way? Father, we know it is your will to heal. You have shown us this in your word and through your son. So in agreement with your will, we pray and ask that you heal this person. We are looking to you and putting our hope and trust in you to heal this person in your time and in your way. I really like that, in your time and in your way. And I think that that is really just sums up of the fact that God is in control. It's in his time and it's in his way. Did you want to finish that?
I was going to say, well, now that you've said that, you know, again, we got to remember that this life here is just a drop in a bucket of eternity. And yes, I mean, I think I agree that God's will to heal, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be here on this earth at this time. Once we are with him, we will be perfect. We will be perfectly whole. And, you know, sometimes I'm afraid to pray, Lord, please completely heal somebody, because I know that even me being relatively healthy, I'm not completely healed. And the only way to do that is to be with Jesus. But the question, too, was, I think, kind of asked, you know, where do we get this? I thought of asking for God's will. And, you know, Jesus himself actually prayed that twice. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, your will be done. Not his, your will be done. And again, when Jesus was in the garden, he's asking God. I mean, we even talked about, you know, if bad things are happening, is that God's will? Well, Jesus was in a bad spot in Gethsemane, and he knew what was going to happen. He knew that was going to be beyond anything that we ever knew and ever know. But he prayed, if this cup can be taken away from me, please do so, but your will be done. So, you know, those are two sections I thought about when I read that question. But I do have some notes on how we should pray for healing. We should pray boldly for healing because God is compassionate and able. But we should pray humbly, your will be done, because God is sovereign and sometimes does his best work through ongoing weakness. Jesus himself prayed, not my will, but yours be done, in his greatest moment of anguish.
Okay. We probably haven't answered all the questions, but we have gone way past, even though we were trying to keep it short or keep it to the normal length. I'm sorry about that, but hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have more questions, come ask somebody or write them down. And I just want to thank you all for coming, and let's just close in prayer.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.